How you doing, everybody? And welcome to another threesome podcast, number 22, double deuces, the big 2-2.
Yes.
And
look at you, all excited over that.
I am. I mean, 22 shows is nothing to sneeze at, man.
It's not.
It's pretty
awesome.
They
thought we wouldn't make it past 12.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd make it past 4.
Really? You were secretly hoping, though, weren't you?
I wanted this to work more than anything. I always have wanted to do a show with you, so I was hoping we wouldn't go back to our old selves and rip our faces off, you know, so.
So far, I'm still fully faced.
It's amazing how much shit we really agree on. I don't know how we ever fought about stuff.
I don't think that's what we fought about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mostly about our shitty personal lives, which we've both rectified.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So there's really nothing to blow shit on anybody about anymore.
We're just two balls of happiness.
Pretty much.
We're like a scrotum of fun.
I had a lot of happiness over the holidays, and it all went to my stomach.
I think we all had that issue.
I'm so fucking pissed at myself. I mean, I really was getting into phenomenal shape back in July and August. You know, I was an easy 25 pounds lighter than I am right now. I was running, you know, 4 or 5 miles a day. You know, eating all the right foods, you know, just felt amazing. And what happens? Football season.
Yes.
It's really hard to sit around and eat salad and celery sticks and protein drinks while you're watching football.
Do they make beer-flavored protein drinks?
Boy, they should. But then you'd just drink about 15 protein drinks and you'd be as fat as you would if you drank the fucking beer, so.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
But you'd have lots of muscles.
Yeah. You'd have lots of muscles, but also lots of fat around those muscles.
Just protecting. It's a protective layer.
I watched a shitload of TV over the holidays. I have so many shows to talk to you about, to see if
like
you've
what?
Seen or to at least explain them to you. My favorite, as far as entertainment wise, is Redneck Island.
I have not even heard of it.
You need to look it up and find it, because it's kind of like a Redneck Survivor.
Well, now, is this something on Netflix or it's on network TV?
It's on network TV. I can't remember what channel it's on, but I think it's like Learning Channel or something like that. But
which isn't anymore, let's be honest.
Yeah. The premise of the show is this. It's kind of Survivor meets Big Brother. They're at this lake house out on Lake Hartwell in Georgia. And there's, I think, like 16 or 20 people in the house, half male, half female, and they have these male-female teams, and they get shit-faced for 23 hours a day, and then an hour a day, they have these competitions.
Bless you.
And the competitions can be anything from like a rubber tube, you know, being shot off a ramp and then having to swim somewhere, or, you know, whatever the case is. But these people are pretty much shit-faced all the time. And the girls are kind of white trash hot. And the guys are all muscular, but they kind of have that look in their eye like they're, you know, possibly have some mental challenge issues.
Or those hot guys that take the shirt off and you're like, oh, yeah. And then they smile at you and they have one tooth.
Yes.
And it's like, damn it.
Yeah.
Just keep your mouth shut. Why did you do that?
Yeah, or, you know, they have crazy eyes. Like you know, like mommy and daddy dropped them on their heads or something.
Or mommy and daddy are very closely related.
But it is pure entertainment. Hosted by Stone Cold Steve Austin. and by Jesse James. Oh God, what's the wide receiver on the Jets that used to be on the Broncos last year? The real good looking guy.
No idea.
Oh God, I can't. Decker, Eric Decker's wife. They host it. It's total Knicks status, and I couldn't get enough of it. I can't wait for Thursday night when it comes back on.
Is it one of those things that makes you feel really good about yourself, no matter where you are in life?
Oh, yeah. Most of TV makes me feel good about myself. Every time I see Ellen, who's filthy fucking rich, you know, beyond anybody's wildest dreams, anytime I see that tragic dancing of hers at the beginning of the show, I feel immediately better than her.
That's one thing you haven't had to do in your illustrious career.
Yeah.
It's just dance.
I fucking hate watching her dance, and it's all self-serving. It's so she can put on whatever song she wants and spends 3 or 4 minutes of her show dancing around in front of other bad white women dancers. And I've had it. I hate it.
Well, I think you just kind of answered your whole thing.
What do you mean?
You're not a white woman. Why are you watching it?
Lisa watches it.
Oh.
Especially during the 12 days of Christmas to see all this shit she gives away.
Gotcha.
I mean, you wouldn't believe it, these people in the audience. There's got to be 300-400 people in the audience. You wouldn't believe how much shit they go home with. It's crazy. I mean, there's got to be, every single day, there's got to be $500,000 worth of shit walking out of that studio.
Really?
Yeah. They are printing money at Ellen, which is why they don't need to dance. There should be 4 more minutes of printing money somehow. Yeah, everything's good.
Can you hear me? I mean, or I can, is it yeah, like no, still
I can.
Bad?
It's not doing it now.
All right.
So let's hope for the best. Okay, so anyway.
So it's a bad day to be a cartoonist in France, huh?
It sure is. Yeah. Too bad they're not in the United States and all of those damn things are out of business.
See, I was trying to look. I think that it's like the onion. And I was putting myself in the position of what if someone went in and blew away like everyone who worked at the onion? And I would be really, really sad. Because the onion really provides a lot of happiness to my life.
But I really love sautéed onions.
I don't think they were using a flamethrower, were they? It was just guns, big guns.
Pretty much, yeah. Actually, not even automatic weapons. It was just really well-trained, heavily ammoed, single-shot type guns, apparently. And like a very well-executed type situation.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
So, that is too bad.
Yeah, it's you know, I mean, details are still coming in. I'm sure I'll have a lot more when I watch the national news tonight, but my goodness. Just every day is just a giant piece of crap somewhere.
It seems like it's happening more and more.
Yeah.
You know, I was having a conversation with someone over the holidays about, you know, I don't even remember, but there was a shooting or something again somewhere. And it was like, you know, if it's a school shooting and if it's less than 10 kids, I don't even blink an eye now. I don't even think about it. Like, I need to. Isn't that awful?
Wow.
And I don't mean that in a mean way. I think that it's just because you get bombarded with crap so much.
Yeah. You're going to have to come with better news than that. I need at least 30 fucking kids before I pay attention.
Isn't that awful?
It is, but it you're just being honest. I think if everybody, yes. I think if everybody's honest about, you know, the news they digested 10 years ago and what they digest now, they'd be horrified.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Either that or it's just in the now and it seems more intense. But to me, it seems like the whole situation is gone on steroids. Better weapons, better technology, better access for terrorists and criminals and everything else. There's now cyber terrorism. It's just the ante is just upping constantly.
And 3D printers.
Yeah.
So you can print your own stuff.
Yeah, you can print your own print your own plastic gun with that will shoot real bullets. How about that bullshit?
I know. Because remember, what was it, in Line of Fire? John Malkovich made that little mold and had that little plastic gun that he used.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, what if that were real? What if that could really happen? And here we are.
Yeah, listen, you know, hard composite plastic, why wouldn't it work in a short-term situation? I don't think it would work over a long period of time. It would, you know, conform the plastic. But for, you know, a quick little gunfight.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, pew, pew, pew. Melts out of here. I hope I never have a pussy gun like you shoot. You're going to have to shoot me, Lex. All right, motherfucker. Pew, pew, pew. Pew. It's funny. Your gun noises are mine early. Mine are blam, blam, blam.
I was going to say, would you like my balls, balls. There. That. That's how my gun sounds,
yeah,
Lex.
Yeah, much better. Yeah. You sound like you can die from those. I feel like pew, pew would just bounce off of me and be like, I'm still going to strangle and rape you, bitch.
The bullet actually bounces off you, yeah. Ricochets back and gets me in the eye.
You're so getting a cock in your ass. Here at the mall. Your husband should have bought you a better gun. Pew, pew. Stop shooting, lady. These things are bouncing off of me. Here's something that won't bounce off of you.
My cock.
Oh, God. What is wrong with us? All right, so some of the other TV shows. Are you into this guy on the show Fast and Loud? He's like a guy that builds cars, and he's out of Dallas here. His name's Richard.
I've never seen the show.
You've never seen the show?
No, I don't know who this is. No.
Well, apparently, all the girls 30 and up love this guy.
That would be me.
Yeah. And Lisa is completely smitten with him. I mean, it's like we had like 20 episodes recorded, and we must have watched them all. And he's like, he's so cute. I'm like, you know, that's set up by the producer, right? He's not, you know, it's like, never mind. Just enjoy it like normal people.
Oh, I think she is, though.
You know, she is. She was.
I have to say, what? Male, especially hockey. Oh, I get to enjoy sports with another dimension that, like, you don't. And that would be, oh my God, look at his chest.
Who's this?
Look at his arms. Any sports, if there's like a hot guy in, you can watch it, appreciate it. And I enjoy watching sports with other men and then pointing out how hot the athletes are. Because guys like that.
Well, I don't care. It's like you have a fucking chance at that. Glad you like it.
Yeah. No, but that is what I'll be thinking about when you're fucking me later. So,
yeah. Well, some of those guys will be thinking about that while they're fucking you later.
Nice.
You're just a hole that they wish had hair on it. They wish you had, you know, Terrell Owens' ass.
I see that on my tombstone. She didn't have Terrell Owens' ass.
She put the O in T-O. Yeah, so she's completely enamored with this guy. I mean, it's like, you know, it to the point where I'm like starting to feel bad about myself, you know? It's like, I don't even think you've had 20 hours of me since we've been together. It's like. she's like, he's just in my wheelhouse. It's what I like, you know? I'm like, okay, you know? Anyway, he does the show out of Dallas. And the other day, you know, she was going to meet a bunch of her yoga girls because it was one of their birthdays or something. And she was going to be late. So she goes, you want to go get something to eat? And I'm like, yeah, sure. She goes, let's go to Twin Peaks. I'm like, really? Twin Peaks is like Hooters, except the girls are younger, you know, like high school young. You know, it's pretty creepy, actually.
So their bosoms like, are just beginning to blossom.
It's like they're so young, you like don't even want to look at them, you know, because you feel like you'll go to jail or something. Yeah, you're like
your mother and father know? Do they know you're here?
Exactly. You know, it's like, and they're like, "Hey, baby, can I take your order?" And I'm like, "I can't be seen talking to you. Just bring me something. Bring me a fucking hamburger or something. You know, just something.
Bring me something hot and awful."
Yeah, it's okay to look at me. I'm over 18. I'm like, I don't believe you. I think you have a scumbag bar manager that hired you, and you haven't even taken your fucking SATs yet. So
no, but they will in the spring.
And then they're fair game. So,
are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I just wait for the bing, bang to go away and then proceed. I'll just go back and edit it out if I have to.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's a little obsessive, I gotta say. So she goes, let's go to Twin Peaks. I'm at Twin Peaks, and I don't really think anything of it. And then on Monday, I mentioned on the show how you know, entrenched in this show she is. And Ian goes, oh, yeah, I see him at Twin Peaks all the time.
Violated.
So yeah, and I went, really? And he goes, yeah, I see him there, you know, a lot. And I'm like, that's really interesting. So I threw her completely under the bus and told the story right then and there. You know, just went ahead and did it. I went, you know, that's kind of funny because she wanted to go to Twin Peaks the other night, and I'm like, you? It's like, what value do you get out of this?
Young boobies.
She's like, you can just see some boobies. And then I'm like, okay, you know. Thanks. So, you know, I'm like looking at this guy's Facebook and Twitter to see if he was saying I'm hanging out at Twin Peaks or whatever the case is, because I was going to let her have it. You know, I was going to say, hey, look, you go meet these people on your own time. Don't drag me there to ogle at them in front of me, you know.
And
I mean, you know, it's like I've lost out to worse guys than this, so who gives a shit? But it's like, you know, when you're dragging me along for the ride while you feed your obsession. But she said, I had no idea he goes to Twin Peaks. She's like, oh, my God. I'm like, don't oh, my God, me. You like, you know, this isn't a little over the top. I said, and let's also throw in the mix here. I was him at one point, and you snagged me.
See, the old Lex, the Lex that I love and cherish so much.
Yeah.
Would have said, you obviously are too old for him. If he's here for young boobies, he doesn't want yours.
Yeah, there's that.
But you didn't go for that direction, and I'm really disappointed in you.
No, I went for a more truthful one. You know, and that is. Are you going down Starfucker Lane here?
Oh, I assume right now you're banking that this episode that we're recording right now is not going to make it to broadcast.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care. So this is nothing I didn't say to her, you know? And of course, she thinks I'm just being ridiculous, which I may be. She's never showed me that she would, you know, I mean, you know, she ogles all over, you know, Blake Griffin and, you know, all these Oklahoma football players and everything. I've never caught her sneaking out of the house to go hit that, you know, so. And this
because she's much sneakier than you.
Yeah, maybe.
You're going to have to start putting bells on the door.
I doubt so she's much I doubt she's much sneakier than me. You have
well,
forgotten
maybe
about
you now.
Me.
No, I remember you 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, nothing's changed, bitch.
You're older, softer, gentler now.
No, I'm older, smarter, wiser now. But yeah, you know, it's like, so I watched a lot of that TV show. I like the show, by the way. It's really good. You know,
oh, good.
Yeah, so, you know, I got to give it to her for turning me on to a great, you know, TV show. And
a hot guy, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I've learned more about cars than I ever thought I would. The other show of what? What's that?
I was going to say, can you build one now?
I think so. You know,
well, I see a future podcast episode.
Uh-huh. Lex's shitty car.
For 2.5 hours, we're going to listen to Lex wrench something. I don't even
I bought a brand new, you know, in brand new condition 1968 Shelby and fucked it. Fucked it over completely. It's ruined now. $200,000 worth of car. So yeah, there was that. And then the other show I started watching. Have you seen this show, The Affair?
No.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Tell me about it, Lex.
It stars Ruth Wilson, who looks like she could be the daughter of Nancy Wilson, but she isn't. But okay. That's kind of what she looks like. She kind of has fair skin and kind of reddish blonde hair, and she's sexy as can be. And she plays a chick who's just recently out of a marriage. And Dominic West, do you know who he is? Who was in The Wire and
no.
Was in that bad Mark Wahlberg movie where he was the rock star. He was like the guitar player in the band.
Damn it, no. I haven't watched that either.
Yeah, just look him up. You've seen him in a bazillion things. He's been in, you know, you see 300?
Yes.
He was the evil politician that fucked the queen while the guy was off fighting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so now you know who he is. All right.
Yes.
So he's like a family guy. He's married to Mara Tierney, who's been on TV for years, and she's very attractive.
I know who that is.
and the marriage seems fine and everything. They have four kids. But he meets this chick and gets obsessed with her. And somewhere along the line, you know, you keep seeing them get questioned by cops. And the story's told in half and half. Half of the episode is from his perspective, and the other half's from her. So there's a half hour worth of content revisited from his perspective and hers. And sometimes the takes are the same, sometimes they're slightly different, and sometimes they're incredibly different, the way they see things. It's really fascinating. Right. It's really well done. But
so it doesn't get boring, the monotony?
No.
They have to do that really well.
No, because somewhere, someplace, somebody in this gets murdered. And they don't tell you who it is. You just see them sitting in front of this cop who was Deacon, King of Queens, and and explaining, you know, certain places they were and certain, you know, places they were in the relationship and things they were doing and so on and so forth. And it's really fucking good. I mean, real good.
Hmm.
And I got totally hooked on that. I'm like six episodes in. You know, there's like five or six more to get caught up, but it's phenomenal.
Now, is this on Netflix?
It's on Showtime right now, but okay. It will be on. Do you have Apple TV? So you strictly have Netflix.
Yes.
We're getting good at this.
Yes.
So I got a shitload of editing to do, but this is, you know, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, because I'm editing this shit out, Stacy's dropping out on me about every 10 minutes here.
And so when I say something and you don't hear him respond or he doesn't respond correctly, it's not him just being Lex this time. There is a real reason.
Well, sometimes it might be me being me, but you'll never know the fucking difference, you people that know Lex and Stacy. Just know that this is an hour and 20-minute podcast that's going to be an hour. Because it's going to be 20 minutes of Stacy being, you know, completely muffled. And I got to go in and edit it all out. You whore. All right, so that's off my chest. Yeah, but the Affair, great show. Great fucking show. Well, you need to check it out.
I look forward to it hitting Netflix in a couple of years.
And then I watched my favorite movie ever.
Bubba Hotep?
Let's Kill Ward's Wife. Which is on Netflix.
Okay.
The premise of the movie is this. All these guys are a bunch of friends, and you can tell they've been friends a long time. And one of the guys is married to an evil, bipolar, ball-busting, just cunt of a wife. Just never happy, never a moment of sunshine. I mean, just completely up this guy's ass at all times. On Father's Day, she turns it around on him that, you know, on Father's Day, you should be a father to your son, you know, type of thing and stuff like that. You know, one of those. I mean, all these guys fucking hate her. And at the beginning scene of the movie, they're at like one of the kids' birthday parties or something, or they have a cake, and the guys are sitting over there going, I'd just like to shove that fucking face in that fucking cake. I fucking hate her and all this stuff. And the other guy's going, you know, you have to stand in line behind me and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, God, this is awesome. And so later on in the movie, a guy kills her by, you know, shoving her face in the cake and then strangling her. And it basically, you know, had to do with he's in the kitchen on the phone with this old movie star who he interviewed for his magazine. And she's calling up saying, hey, you know, we should see each other again. And and he's kind of like, yeah, you know, I guess we could do that. You know, he wasn't completely like, yeah, let's do it, you know. Yeah, but she overhears this conversation. And she's like, I wonder what your wife would, you know, how your wife would feel if she knew you were going to meet her on Tuesday. Didn't get enough of the interview the first time and stuff like that. And he just rams her face into a cake and strangles her. And the best part of the movie is that all these friends are completely on the page about covering up this murder. I mean, they're nobody's freaking out. Nobody's out of control. Nobody, you know, it's like they all start assigning duties and reading and they go up to the guy who her husband and they tell him and he goes, man, you guys are like family to me. And they show him in bed at night with his son just smiling, you know, watching TV, hanging out with his kid. You know, it's like life is good with this bitch out of the picture. And even the girlfriends and wives of the guys are like, you know, in on disposing of her body and doing all the right things and everything. I mean, it's phenomenal. I just watched it to watch it, and it ended up being amazing. It's the best movie that I've related to since American Beauty. Everybody has a friend that has that chick.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I certainly had my issues here and there with my wife, but she wasn't near as bad as this chick was. You know, not even close. But I do have friends that have chicks like that. You know, that have been married 20 years, and they're still like that.
Right.
You know, and you just want to go, are you okay? Is this what you want to do?
You know, I think there is a certain percentage of men who do like that.
I can't see how. It's like, I'm a pretty passive guy for the most part. You know, I pick my battles in my relationships. You know, if a chick's like, hey, I need you to go to my parents this weekend, you know, and show up and all that. It's like, yeah, no problem. You know, that's cool. Right. You know, stuff like that, you know, but I, even I have my line in the sand, you know, where it's like, hey, you're getting a little overboard with the demand shit. All right. I'm not going. And don't you ever fucking talk to me like that again. You know, that type of deal.
You know, well, first of all, with someone and them saying, you know, we have this family obligation at my parents this weekend, we have to go. I think there are instances where you just have to suck it up and do something, especially like, you know, if she says there's a family obligation this weekend at my parents, we have to go. You just go.
Yeah.
Because you know, at some point she's going to have to owe you something.
Yeah. I got a business
like that with her.
I got a business thing. I need you to go with me to make it look good or whatever the case is.
Yes. And it's going to be horrible. No one's going to talk to you. And you just sit there and be really uncomfortable.
But the good news is there's open bar and you can drink all you want and I'll drive home.
Exactly. See, it's compromise. That's what a relationship is.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you paint a picture where they can deal. Of course, on the way home, it's like, I thought you said there's open bar. And I lied. I'm sorry. I needed you to go.
And the gimp mask. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mention that either.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had to sleep with all my potential business partners. I guess I should
have. Did I not mention that?
I should have clued you in on that. I'm so sorry.
That's when you start berating her. Why didn't you shave?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I've seen you fuck better than that. If this deal falls through, it's your fault.
You make me a sandwich.
I've seen you just whore it up for me, but when I really needed you to, what'd you do? You just laid there like a drunk bitch. Well, you told me to get drunk. Oh, sorry.
You are completely useless.
Yeah. You know, when I tell you to get drunk, you don't really do it. Because you may have to perform. You're like the worst wife ever. And now we're going to be broke. Because of you and your shitty sex.
I can't even call you a whore.
Yeah. I've never been less worried you're going to cheat on me. Who the fuck would want you?
There's going to be memos. Yeah.
The spin master. It's all your fault.
Yes.
Now my partner's going to be like, your fucking dead ass wife ruined it for all of us. My wife whored it up. Yeah, yours did. Yours was good. Yours was really good. I'm sorry. You prepped yours much better than I did. You're just a better partner. You're a better person. You're the best.
Yes. Are we going for round two of the Lex is Horrible podcast?
I think Lex is just horrible.
No.
I'm beginning to find out. I'm petty. I'm, you know, ruthless. I have no likable qualities when it comes to this podcast. All my real thoughts come out. Yeah, you know, I'll put my lovely partner up to get banged for a business deal and then critique her on how fucking bad she was and making it happen.
Luckily, one of my friends filmed it. They had their camera phone out. We're going to go over this.
Yeah, accused her of things, you know, that aren't even... You're on your period? Seriously? Oh, my God! I started early. What? I didn't know. You started early. I booked this meeting around your periods. Because you see, I knew, because I'm the smart one in this relationship, that you were going to have to fuck somebody for me to get this deal. I divorce you, but you just cost me more money.
I can't even afford to divorce you now because of you.
Yeah, that's right. You get half of nothing because that's what we have.
You cunt.
Wait till I tell the kids what a lousy, lousy performance you put on.
If you don't stop crying right now, I'm going to show them the video.
Yeah. Why couldn't you cry like this while you were having, you know, the rape scene? God, we just sealed the deal. Now I got to go back to this J.R. Ewing motherfucker on Monday, and it's like, yeah, well, I can't in good faith do a business deal. Somebody's got a lay there type of wife.
You know, unfortunately, I imagine those words have actually come out of Larry Hagman's mouth.
Yeah.
Not recently, of course.
No, the best scene in Dallas, the original Dallas. This new one's pretty good, too. But the best scene in the original Dallas was when he pulls up in the driveway and, you know, just to grab something from the house and then go back to whatever he was doing. And Sue Ellen comes on. She goes, JR, don't you leave again. I'm lonely. I need somebody. He goes, well, darling. He goes, let's just take you down to the pet store and get you a puppy dog. It's like the greatest ever.
I should probably watch that show again as a grown-up. I think I'd appreciate it in a much different way than I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, like I said, the new one's really good. And the guy they got playing his son is going to carry on the JR legacy for years if they keep running the show. He has the perfect look. He's fucking evil, but he's charismatic. You know, I mean, it's like they really did a great job casting this guy. He looks like he could be his son. He looks like half Sue Ellen, half JR. It looks exactly like they would have, you know, what satanic baby they would have put out. And and now he's all grown up and he's, you know, he just fucks people over left and right. Of course, Larry Hagman was in the first couple of years of the new Dallas. And right. And it was pretty epic because he constructed everything where he's still fucking people over from the grave. You know, it's like there's still people going like, you know, looks like I own your company now, Bobby. It's like and then you see J.R. Sink him in. He goes, nope, my daddy put something in the will that basically says you don't get shit. That's right. He knew you'd be a scumbag well before you were a scumbag. And now you're fucked. The company's ours. Not only is the company ours, but he constructed it where your company's ours. And that daughter of yours, she's mine. I'm going home. I've heard enough of this. You don't have a home anymore. We own that too. It's the fucking best. It is. I can't stop watching it.
Now, with you living there in Texas, how realistic is it with the people who live there?
Oh, it's completely conceivable.
Is it?
I mean, I don't know if I ever told you about when I moved here. But there was a big party.
Which time?
There was a big party. The second time. There was a big party on the block. And we end up at this guy's house. He has a big Texas flag in his front yard, which a lot of people have. They're very proud of this state. They have, like, Texas stores where they sell mugs and flags and shit like that. The 49 other states, not so much. And
Michigan's pretty patriotic.
Yeah, okay. You know, Pennsylvania and Florida, the two places I lived predominantly in my life, don't. And so it was new to me to go walk through the airport and see like a Texas store. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Okay. All right, whatever. So we go to this guy's house. He has a big fucking Texas flag out front, no American flag, because they feel that's a totally different deal than what they have going on. And and this guy, we're in the backyard and we're barbecuing and have some drinks. Everybody's real nice. And he goes, "So, you just came here from Florida, huh?" And I went, "Yeah, yeah." And he's like, "Thank God you're in Texas, huh?" And I went, "Yeah, that being 2 miles from the beach and playing golf on the best golf courses in the world really got old." not to mention the perfect weather. And, I'm so fucking glad I'm out of there. Thank God I'm here. Thousands of miles from an ocean. A tree, and I was hoping when I got here it'd be 110 degrees, and you know what? It is.
So you ingratiated yourself to your neighbors almost instantly.
Instantly. And he goes, I didn't realize Jacksonville was that nice. And I went, "Well, you have to leave here to realize that." But yeah, they have this thing called the ocean and beaches and, average temperature, year round's like 84 degrees. It's pretty fucking sweet. It's a really nice place. I'm sad I'm gone, kinda. He goes, "Well, what brought you here?" And I went, "Well, bigger market, better situation for the show and stuff like that." But I'm not really feeling I'm in a better place geographically. So you just relax.
And you were probably the first person that ever said that to them.
Yeah, well, I think most people just blow him off because he was kind of a blowhardy type of guy. I think most people went, "Yeah, right. It's great to be here." But no, not me. Yeah, it really sucked being 2 miles from the ocean and playing TPC Sawgrass. What a goat pasture that course is, huh? Yeah, and not to mention the I'm a Florida Gator fan, and I could just hop in my car 90 minutes and go see a game anytime I wanted to. It's not going to happen anymore.
No.
"Well, hey, man, you can go to a Longhorns game." I went, "Yeah, I'm not ever going to do that." Or a Cowboys game, unless the Steelers are coming to town to beat their asses. So, did you watch the game? The Detroit-Dallas game?
I watched the internet. And then there was just a lot of swearing and then a lot of dark, deep, reflective thinking later.
They got fucked. There's no.
It sounds like they did.
There's no other way to put it. I don't know. I don't know if you ever saw the play.
I've avoided it.
But it was clearly pass interference by definition. The guy didn't turn his head around. He kind of entangled the guy's arm a little bit. I've seen much less called for pass interference. The one thing I've never seen, however, is a pass interference flag picked up. I don't think I can think of a football game I've watched in the last 50 years of my life, when as soon as I was, you know, 6 years old, 5 years old, old enough to watch football, I don't think I've ever seen a pass interference flag picked up in a game. I mean, once it happens, it happens.
I was really happy that I didn't watch, because I was actually surprised at myself at how deeply disappointed I was after the game was over. There was just a lot heartbreaking. And the idea that, and you know, I've seen people arguing online and stuff about the, you know, the Cowboys and Lions and everything and who did what and all that. But the idea, if there is even remotely a chance that it was officiating that lost in the game, that just makes it hurt even more. If they had lost it because they just lost it, that's one thing. But, you know,
they had complete control of the game from the get-go. And
yeah.
And they were playing really well, and the defense was playing amazing. I mean, they were just applying all kinds of pressure, and you know, it was like I didn't have the sense until that call took place that Dallas had a chance to win that game. And you know, even though they scored a touchdown and got within, you know, they couldn't stop Detroit's offense, and the only way their offense could be stopped was like that. And when right. you couple that with the fact that, you know, here's a guy, you know, the head of officiating in the NFL who's seen getting off of the Jones tour bus.
Right. You know,
and
that's what I'm saying. Why couldn't they just lose honestly?
And that could have been completely innocent, you know, but you start to think after a while.
I know.
You know, and then there's the Chris Christie stuff. You know, he's in Jerry's, you know, press box, you know, or luxury box, you know, and is seen. I mean, his presidential hopes are gone. Here, you know, that scene of him dorkily hugging Jerry Jones after the Dallas touchdown. You know, that coupled with the fact that he's in business bed with the Port Authority of New Jersey and New York with Cuomo himself and Jerry Jones' company that somebody right. uncovered this morning is something that's going to be investigated. And any aspirations he had of running for president are pretty much done, because any candidate running against him is just going to show that video over and over and over.
Right.
And the message from that video is, if somebody's this bad of a hugger, could he run our country? That'd be the political ad I would do. I wouldn't even go after his politics. It's like, he can't even hug somebody when he's happy. How's he going to hug your needs when he's president?
How is he going to greet heads of state?
Yeah. Do you think the Shah of Iran will be happy with Shah of Iran? Let's go back 40 years.
Well, if we learned from anything, you know, with George W., all you have to do is make out with the Saudi family.
Yeah. He was awesome.
Apparently they like deep tongue kisses.
That's when I loved him, you know, is stuff like that. That's when he was the most real to me. You know, because I hate to tell you this, I'd be the same way. You know, I'd be like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. Come here, you good looking little.
You son of a gun.
Yeah. I can't stick my tongue through this rag across your mouth.
Hey, Scott, yeah. Legs.
Hey, I'd be a horrible president in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From alienating voters everywhere.
Yeah. Or not. I already told you what my presidency would be like. It'd be complete disclosure. Listen, you're going to see me
and the murdering of children.
Yeah, listen, you're going to see me hugging and shaking hands with these people that have a completely different culture from us, and I don't really know what to do, so... You know, be kind to me as you nitpick every bad thing I do, or every wrong handshake or hug or whatever the case is, because at the end of the day, I don't care about these people. All right?
That's our 55-minute marker.
It is.
We've got probably about 25 more minutes to go.
We got a good, I'd say, 5 or 6. Easy.
Okay.
So, you know, it's... I've kind of lightened up on George Bush for stuff like that. I really have. You know, because in the end, it kind of endeared me to him more than outraged me. I still didn't like him getting a shoe in the head from somebody. You know, at the time, I was like, oh, my God, that's awesome. But when I reflected on it, I was like, that's not awesome. That's our president. And that guy should get a fucking hole in his head for doing that. Because that's what Reagan and Nixon would have done. Kill that motherfucker.
In 5 minutes, yeah. The bombing of Moscow will commence.
Yeah. Then, you know,
which, the single greatest thing a president's ever said.
Uh-huh.
And then went, hey.
He was such a badass.
And then going, oh, I'm sorry, is this on?
Yeah. No? He was so careless. I loved him. Yeah.
Did that just get broadcast to Russia? Oh, yeah. My God. I'm so sorry.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore. I love that. Dude, you had your foot up everybody's ass for 8 years. Yeah, you know, you were the man. Yeah, you know, everybody was scared shitless of you. And to go out with, you don't have Nixon to kick around anymore. I love this fucking guy. You know? It's back when Republicans were awesome. They weren't mealy-mouthed, sneaky little shits like they are now. They weren't like Lindsey Graham and, you know, mealy-mouthed Eric Cantor and guys like that. They were fucking men like Reagan and Nixon, and we're going to bomb the fuck out of you and fuck all your broads and, you know, I don't even give a fuck about your kids. And we're just going to take.
I fully admit, and I think everybody who has listened knows, I am a bleeding heart liberal.
Yeah.
I loved Reagan. Not his politics, but the man. He was so much like my grandpa. I think God does not want me to talk about Reagan, even though I was saying really wonderful things about him.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't have really anything bad to say about any of these guys. It's a very difficult job. There's so many people in their way and wanting to gun for them and cause them problems and everything else. You know, you see them live 25 years and 8 years. You know, they look completely different coming out than they do going into office. And I have a lot of empathy for that. It's a tough job. It's a thankless job for the most part. And you know, I've really lightened up on Bush quite a bit. The more I realize what really happened there, you know, which was his dad got him in office and he basically furthered his dad's agenda.
Yes.
That's basically it. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen the movie W, the Oliver Stone movie.
No.
But you need to watch it because it really explains a lot of that stuff, you know, about his issues with his dad and the fact that, you know, he pretty much was bullied by his dad into moving his third administration along or his second one or whatever the case is.
Right. Well, did you see now where Jeb, it's becoming clearer and clearer, you know, he has his eyes on the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's, because he, just a couple of years ago, in an interview, was stating that, you know, while gays kind of go against what he believes, he thinks that everyone should be happy in terms of being able to marry and such,
mm-hmm.
you know, and was pretty much all but said he supports gay marriage. He just had to get the, it goes against my beliefs. But everything else, I totally am all about gay marriage, you know. And now he's coming out and saying, you know, with everything that's going on in Florida, you know, that this is a county issue, not even a state issue anymore, but this is a county issue.
Yeah.
And well, it's like, just stick to your guns, guys. That's my biggest beef with politics on any side. Stop being a hypocrite.
Yeah. It's
hypocrisy,
like,
drives me nuts.
What is wrong with saying, I don't believe or, you know, really want to comment on gay marriage. It's a free country and everybody should be able to do what they want. That's why America's so great. But the fact of the matter is, we have much bigger problems than this, people. You know,
I know, but that's what gets people whipped into a frenzy.
These are not presidential problems. These are state problems. These are things I don't want to be involved in. I want to make sure our economy stabilizes, our foreign relations stabilize, our infrastructure gets the money it needs to be rebuilt and replenished. All those things have, you know, a great deal more importance than these things you bring up that are very controversial issues that a president, to be honest, is never going to fix.
I would just like to point out, though, quickly, that for a gay person who can't legally marry the person that they love and have been with for 20 years, gay marriage is a big issue for them. Now, in the grand scheme of things, I understand what you are saying.
Yes.
I get it. You know, when you are dealing with the entire country, but if you go from the very conservative idea that 10% of the world's population is gay, it does kind of become an issue.
Yeah, but you know, my argument to people that are gay and want this to happen is it's like I'm a federal-oriented political position. These things are going to happen state by state. I will do what I can to reason with people as to why this should take place. But really, when it comes to running the presidency, I can't devote a lot of time to this because there's so many things, you know, besides this.
Right. And no, I do understand what you're saying.
And I'm not going to be an effective person in making it happen because it's done on a state level. You know,
I guess the way I look at it is if gays can marry, it's not affecting me. It's not affecting you. It's not affecting the straights. So just get over it. You know, if it became a federal thing and it was okay across the country, it's not affecting anybody except for the people who right now can't get married to the people they love.
I don't think any of these Republican candidates outside of the Tea Party guys give a fuck if gays get married. I really don't. You know,
there was a story with George Bush.
But they have to say they do because otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, George Bush, after he came out of office, there was just a little tiny story about how, you know, their official position, his administration had been, you know, with the gays. They had to follow the Republican line. But behind the scenes in the White House, in his administration, was incredibly gay friendly. And it's like, why couldn't you just say that? Why do you have to hide the fact that your administration was gay friendly? It actually is like one redeeming quality I find about the man. You know, why does it have to be a hidden thing because you're a Republican?
Because there's things that's bigger than the presidency when it comes to these parties. And, you know, you got people saying, hey, you can't say this because this state and this state and this state, we need you for this and that. And we need, you know, these people are all, you know, against gay marriages and stuff. And they're going to vote against us in these referendums and these bills and stuff like that. And that's what all that is.
I understand that. But again, that kind of goes with no one's telling you the truth.
But if I was a presidential candidate, I'd wipe my hands clean of it. I'm just going to say that's done on a state level. I know there's people in my party that, you know, have very clear cut feelings about that. But I'm not one of them. And I'm not going to really spend my presidency time on personal issues like that. I can't. I got much more to think about.
Because ultimately, the whole anti-gay thing, it boils down to a religious thing. If you're not religious, I think that the odds of you being anti-gay are a lot less.
Well, you know me. I already would have declared by then that I'm not religious, and I don't give a fuck about any of y'all's religious beliefs or anything. It doesn't build bridges. It doesn't fix foreign relations. It doesn't, you know, stop
it
abortions.
It makes things worse.
I mean, it's you know, I'm the perfect guy for president because I don't buy into all that bullshit. So elect me.
Yes, but see, there will be those who will be like, well, if you don't have a good faith in God, how can you run the country?
Because,
or Allah, or whoever.
Because I'm the guy running it. That's me running the country. I can sit down all the living presidents, and I bet they all could tell you God didn't help them with anything. Other than to get through the night and get some sleep or whatever the case is. At the end of the day, all their decisions are theirs. All their referendums and agendas are theirs. And let's be real about this. Please, people, our country's in a position where we need to be fucking real here.
Oh, I know.
Yes. Do I believe in God? Do I sit there and talk to something out there that, you know, will you please help me? Yes. You know? Yes, I do. But I, at the end of the day, I am not going to count on that voice to be there when I have to push the button.
Very true.
And by the way, I will push the button, you motherfuckers. Anybody?
I guess that's the thing, too. Do you really think that God, at least a benevolent God, would be telling you to push the button if that's the case?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's...
If you have a fire and brimstone God, then yeah, he's probably already told you to do it five times and you just didn't get the message.
I just would be very... very uncaring about it.
Not you.
You know, because I'd make it clear. It's like, you're not going to muck up my election and my campaign with this bullshit. It's not happening. You want to be gay? Be gay. I support you 100%. Yes, you should be able to get married. And you should be able to smoke all the weed you want while you do it. I don't care.
You're here.
I don't give a fuck. Okay? Are all three network mics on? I don't give a fuck what you people do in your free time. I care that you pay your taxes. And I care that, you know, that you are in a position to... perform your craft, make your money without our economy strangling you, and that's what I'm here for.
Right.
I am going to work with...
No, I agree.
I'm going to work with the best minds of the military, of the economy. I will hire the best of the best. I will sit in a room with them and pretty much let them, in three different opinions on three different subjects, tell me the best way to go, hoping the two of the three are congruent with each other, and I'll probably go in that direction. You know, that's right. Pretty much it. And every once in a while, I'll have to make a decision, and I'm a good, normal guy with common sense, and I'll make the right decision. You know, it's not rocket science.
It actually scares the shit out of me at the possibility that moment would come, you know, where it is something that could very well influence all life on Earth. And the idea that some guy, our president, whoever it is sitting in a room somewhere praying,
yeah,
scares the shit out of me. Yeah, I want someone who knows. I want someone who, you know, whether it's right or wrong, I want them to know. I don't want them looking for guidance.
Yeah, here's what God
did. Because they're not sure.
Here's what God did for me, people. He gave me a brain, and I've used that brain to hire people with bigger brains to tell me what may be a good way to handle every fucking situation there is.
Yep.
And these are good minds. But somebody has to make the decision. I'll do that. But I'm not going to do it without proper information and proper background and all the things needed to make a very informed decision. That's all I'll promise you. But I'm not going to just...
I think you should run, Lex.
I'm just not going to see some situation that's happening in the Middle East or whatever the case is and have a burr up my ass that day and go, bomb them, fuck them. You know, I'm not going to do that. I just want a guy to come along or a woman to say, you know, this is how I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I'm going to have the smartest people in the room with me.
Fuck yeah.
And that's it.
See, I would use the IRS to get back at any person that's ever pissed me off. I would be Nixon. I would be so sneaky.
Yeah, there'd be some of that.
Really? You were mean to me in the fourth grade? You better go start getting all your receipts out of your drawer.
Yeah, I don't think I want just three companies to own all the radio stations anymore. Make it happen so it goes back the way it was. I don't like the telecom bill. Let's get rid of it.
FCC.
Oh. It was supposed to really free everything up and make it better, but it really didn't. It's really bad now, so we're going to put it back the way it was. And we're going to have free trade and competition and everything else in that business instead of people being locked out because three fucking companies own everything.
Yeah.
Get to work on that right away. Bring me the guy on the bus at the Lions game.
We never talked about... This was like back way before Christmas. Did you see on Deadspin the Lions guy that was eating the other guy's asshole?
Yes.
Tailgating. Yes. Sorry. Was that, like, oh, that was a why guy? Can't we talk about this? I am afraid it was a guy. I'm hoping and telling myself it was a girl.
I wasn't...
But if it was a chick, why would he be eating her ass?
Well, you know.
No, not outside when you have to wear a winter hat. If you're going to go for the good stuff, go for the good stuff.
Yeah, but why, you know, if it's like, if guy or girl, you know, let's just say you're gay, why wouldn't you be doing something else to that ass?
I don't know.
You know, that's why I thought it was a chick. You know, I thought she was just getting eaten out.
Well, we will pretend for sure that it was a chick. As I said, I was hoping it was, but I feared that it was a guy.
I wasn't sure. You know, I was just like, whatever that is, that's like, that's really bad. You know? But the good news is, you know, did you see the guy who did it? No, he had a face full of ass. So, there you go.
All right.
All right, so we have negotiated our way through this brilliantly. See, I'm going to leave that part in there so people can hear what the fuck I've been dealing with for the last hour and a half.
Okay.
But it's been a pleasure, Stacy. I want to thank Drew at DBC Connections for making sure LT2 is kicking ass. And we are loving the Threesome Podcast. This wraps up number 22. Excuse me, 23 will be next week.
God willing.
With Lex and Sta...
See.
We'll definitely figure out this internet thing and all that stuff and get it taken care of. But in the meantime, that wraps up another Threesome Podcast. You all have a nice day. Bye.
Bye-bye.